Blog Talk Radio.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there.
Travel realms uncharted, blur the lines, break the chains, open yourself to possibilities waiting to be discovered on the other side. I am Pam Ray, and with me is my co-host, Intimidus Rex. Rex and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called the Late Night Poets. And if you find that this show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase them, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And hello, Rex.
What's up?
Oh, you know what? Life is good. Weather's a little cooler today. On Monday, my baby is turning 15. So tomorrow we're going to go into town. As a birthday gift, she's going to get her ears pierced. And then we're going to pick up whatever she wants for her birthday lunch or dinner. And what else? And of course, because she doesn't really like cake, on her actual birthday, we're going to have pie and ice cream. So, yeah, good plan. And
pie.
Well, I hope not. if it was if me choosing, I choose either probably French silk cherry or pecan. But I don't know. She'll probably go for cherry pie. Yeah. But and how about you? How How's the gardening and getting outside and all that stuff going?
Well, I mowed the front. Just back did a couple days ago. Still got plenty of trees to repot and get my veggies in the sunlight if it ever shows its face.
Right? You wonder where it's hiding, you know? Usually it's all shining bright, but that's a lot of work. Man, that is a lot of work. Well, thankfully, reading and commenting on poetry and hanging out with me usually isn't too physically demanding. So now will be a great time for you to just sit back and relax and enjoy some poetry. So, and speaking of which, we have a great lineup tonight. We actually have writes from three different contests. We'll start out with some carryovers from the Twisted Tuesday show, where the theme was rivers. And then we will go into our main topic, which is poetry inspired by the artwork of Alan Jones. And then I, just in case I didn't get enough in there, which I didn't get a huge response, but I still got quality, which is important. I ran a third contest with a single artwork prompt. But anyways, I'm definitely looking forward, as always, to hanging out with you. You never know, maybe some other cool poet. I see we have Stargazer on the topic bar, not the topic board, but in Late Night Poets. And hello, Stargazer. Always good to see you. You know, she's definitely always great to see her. Very cool. And all right. Well, you know what, Rex? Whenever you're ready, I'm ready to get this ball rolling.
All righty then. Hill with Lotus by Blue Wright 76. Grandparents, aunts, and grandchildren, summers many ago, stood under huge banyan trees with boisterous birds, a few of them temples that were built near the trees, their minarets, now bat haunts. We stood looking at a riverbed, sons of waters and aquatics, dry as the sheep wandered, looking for non-existent grass, but many huge and small statues, some pottery and weaponry by their banks stood, a museum too for the river village, with their every history lesson that fell in our ears. We constructed the river and its shore, where hundreds of years ago stood a river port with its red-legged cranes, where migratory birds holiday, kings and travelers, its jewels, ships full of pearls that loaded their silks and men to travel across the peninsula or navigate the seas far into the oceans, found the Greek and Roman shores. Now, three decades later, what was taught to me as a child is the heated topic on dailies as people label the age of the city that was a jewel of South India, museums once dilapidated, now fresh and new to revere the past. Before the global warming from the advent of factories, the plunder of her alluvium to build urban brick prisons, the land of great rivers was lush and greener with its lotus and lilies, happy fishermen and merchants, not to forget the fishes, clams, and birds. Today, the meager ponds and lakes of the land and the oldest of the banyans look on as learned men meander the scapes with spades and spatulas to find the hidden fossil pearls of our lost portions of River Thamirabarani, that means filled with lotus, on the northern banks of which stood the ancient river of Port Korkai. To them, I model rivers that burst the cities and ports. And poem.
Great read there, Rex. You know, I do have to agree with Stargazer, who says, Rexy reads so beautifully, like a waterfall. Amen to that.
A waterfall. Yes, it crashes on everything.
Yeah, she means you're a force to be reckoned with, Rex. That's what she means. You shape all the stones that get in your way.
Or crush them.
Or you just make a big mess of things. But I did think that was a wonderful read. I really liked this one. I really like how they wrote about the specific river, the Mirai Birani. And I apologize if I'm stumbling over that. I really like that that name of that river means filled with lotus. I thought that was a great touch to remember, to learn. I found this rite beautiful, and I like how it's both beautiful and poetic, and at the same time, educational, reminding us of the history of the river and of the land. And I always like finding out the meaning of names of people and places. I thought this really had great imagery and was an excellent rite on the, as I said, the history and people of an ancient river. All the way through, the attention to detail is really beautiful. And the way it reminds us of how bodies of waters, and especially rivers, are such an important part of many cultures. I really like particularly where she brings in the red-legged cranes, where hundreds of years ago stood a river port with its red-legged cranes, where migratory bird holiday kings and travelers, its jeweled ships full of pearls. I mean, just the fact that she delves into these beautiful creatures and delves into the important history of this particular river and its ports, I think really just speaks volumes on the topic. So I'm really glad that you write 76 was inspired. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, since time immemorial, we have always planted ourselves near the waters. Why? Because of offerings that go there. Not just the water with the fresh ends, but the sea with its bounty for fishing. So we've always been connected to the water in some manner or other, and we've forgotten over the years something like 10 million square miles of land has been put underwater where used to be that which was before. I mean, you take India. I remember a few years back, I think it was with something was burgeoning out there in India. And they always said on this particular place, there were seven rich temples there built on the shore, but only one was left. You know, it's a myth, it's a myth. But as the water got drawn out for something, they started to see the six steeples of those temples out in the bay going out probably about a mile and a half. And so there is a richness of culture and stuff from thousands of years ago that is sitting literally underwater. And you look at there's plenty of it off Cuba's coast. There's plenty of India. There's plenty of around Europe, where all those coastlines were affected after the last ice age melt. So this kind of walks in that notion of rediscovery, because it hits on it, today the meager ponds and lakes of land and the oldest of the banyans look on as learned men meander skates with spades and spatulas to find the hidden fossil pearls of our lost portions of river from Maribarani, which means filled with lotus. And lotus, again, was something that was treasured both in the subcontinent India as well as in Egypt. It's a flower that holds, it has supposedly some, not just medicinal, but some existential thought to experiencing something else. It has qualities of, what the hell am I calling it? Transcendence. Or being used for...
I love
a little more than just the love what it is.
You know what? I like that. And you're right. There is a richness in culture. And that was interesting to learn about the different temples that you mentioned. Very cool. Great observations. And what do we have next, Rex?
Nature by Maliha. And that one's yours if you're going to take up the mount.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. Sorry. I was, let's see here. Nature by Maliha. She stands by the windows, glancing at nature's miracles, the chirping of birds on the horizon, yearning for his mercy upon her, reciting her beauty in verses that captivates the sun to kiss her, tinted eyes that hold colors, bringing sunshine into her dark memories, kissing her soul and bringing harmony, peace, warmth, and eternity. Now her soul is lost in sun's essence, justifying the fall of nights and the rise of the vibrant days, absorbing all her worries and poem. And what a beautiful write by Maliha. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, that goes back to what I keep saying. If you got a hard day, you know what? Take a walk away from things into nature itself. Go smell some roses. Go listen to the birds. Go listen to the crickets. It doesn't matter. Just get out and breathe fresh air. Get away from all the garbage, even people, for a while. Take a walk. Enjoy the atmosphere. Find a nice wooded area somewhere and listen. Breathe.
You know what? I do have to agree with. I think it is important to get out as much as possible, take walks, even have a little bit. They even say, like, if, you know, obviously not everybody could live in the country, because if everybody lived in the country, it wouldn't be the country anymore. It'd be the city. But, you know, they even say if you can get in contact with nature by, you know, growing plants in your apartment, you know, whenever you can, you know, going to a park that has trees. I mean, but I really like how this speaks on that idea. And I like that it speaks on finding harmony. And there's a certain, I like the nice, delicate touch of sensuality within these lines. Captivates the sun to kiss her, tinted eyes that hold colors, bringing sunshine into her dark memories, kissing her soul and bringing harmony. But there's also a nice spiritual essence to it, too, in the idea of, you know, taking away our pain, our frustrations, our concerns, as we reconnect not only with nature but with our own inner self, our own spirit. I like that it's not just about the imagery, but about actually feeling the sunlight and about taking time to listen to nature. I really like the chirping of birds on the horizon. I thought was a beautiful line because, you know, to me, going out for a walk when you're, you know, is one of the best things is getting to hear the birds singing. Yeah, so just a wonderful write and very well done. And what do we got next?
Monster Rivers by Peter Solomon. Topping up oceans, great snakes from plains, ferrying back ice, rain, little tourists in open boats, getting the full cruise experience. Anaconda of the Amazon, cobra of the Delta Nile, Danube with lit castles, brown snakes, outback, skin shedding, summer never hot enough, carving random tracks, billabongs of paws. Great monster gone underground, out of red dirt sight, souls bottled in China, look without binoculars, containers on the horizon, wind shaved, imported Yankee sparkling, drop of the Murray returning. After dinner carpet constrictor, bloated with dams, checks to progress, tumors of great intestines with blockages, weirs. More little tourists, pilot x-ray consulting, abolution, longing, colons and more billabongs, hungry for the sea, saline ocean. Major serpents, all of determined them, routing to keep tang of ancestral home, even the lazy darling, upstreet fickle, doing her seasonal tan, selling gin to greedy cotton farmers, pumping for Peking billabong, money in labels, but monster serpents that puff up, tattooed chests, long throats of reflux, another flood for Noah, monster rivers to boast. And poem.
Great read there, Rex. I have to say, I really liked the one by Peter Solway. And I mean, I always like his writing, but there was something about this one that I particularly was drawn to. As always, he has great wordplay, strong imagery and metaphors. One of the main ideas I got on this was how it speaks on the mysteries and the history of the world's rivers and how they've been sold and turned into tourist traps to make that extra money. I like that in the first stanza there, and throughout, actually, there's a few different rivers that he mentions and different monsters and, you know, mythology, like of the different rivers, the Anaconda of the Amazon, Cobra of the Delta Nile, Danube with lit castles, you know, all this history, all this mythology connected to different rivers. And then he goes into the different ways that rivers are used for trade and so-called progress, I mean. And then I really liked after dinner carpet constrictor, bloated with dams, checks to progress, tumors of great intestines with blockages, weirs. I don't remember which river it is, but I read that the most polluted river is one that's actually in Australia. And in fact, it's so polluted that there is no actual biological organisms living in there. But he goes on to talk about how what a river used to be and what those waterways used to mean to people has changed so dramatically and not always for the best. Not always for the best, you know. And I think he really touches on the greed of humanity that is destroying not only nature but destroying the history of these rivers. So excellent write and very well done. And Rex, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
He does drop in that, remember that movie, Snakes on a Plane? He dropped that line in the second, Great Snakes on Planes. A little bit of humor. The little tourists in open boats getting the full cruise experience, Anaconda of the Amazon, Cobra of the Delta Nile, Danube with lit castles, and the brown snake outback skin shedding. Some are never hot enough. And the thought of great monster gone underground, it kind of hits on the idea of pollution. Bottled in China kind of hits on the idea of ease in production for cheapness, but still getting the high dollar count from those wares. Anything after dinner, coffee, constrictor, blood of the dams, checks the progress, tumors of great intestines with blockages, wares. There's a note to dams in there as well as the tumors. Kind of hits on the idea of the poison in the rivers themselves. I just been so of all have determined them, right into deep tang events, stressful home. And it hits back again the idea of a lot of where you get where some get spawned actually go back to where they fight or die to go back to where they were spawned so they could lay their eggs for the next generation. And that's kind of dissipating a bit because of the pollution that walks within it. So this walks on a whole lot. Maybe the idea of the another flood for Noah, the idea there is washing once more to cleanse out the bullshit that now is seems to be in total.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought up that. Those great observations, but I'm especially glad you brought up that end stanza because, yeah, it does speak on the idea of needing that cleansing. So very cool. All right. What do we got next?
Where are we? There we go. Utterly Serendipitous by A.R. Mundell.
All right. Let me just mosey back to where I need to be. And here we go. A rambling walk with laden bags over a well-tread route of 20 years, past service station, beside main road, brief taper to a bridge that holds a billion crossings by foot and car, a narrow stream, a tightrope path, where half across our muscles ache, a splash, a glance, I hesitate. I search the water and we wait, scanning crests and verdant view. A tawny fish, some smaller few, they part a darts, coffee brown creature, streaks downstream, out from the shadows over which we lean, an otter first in all our years, with Tesco bags and cars to our rears, end poem. Oh, I did enjoy that one. That was just delightful. And your thoughts, Rex?
That would be, it does hit on the idea of the same traveled path for so many years, and you finally glimpse something which you haven't seen in all those years, and that would be a little creature which is they're kind of cute, they're playful, they're notorious, and to finally see an otter in that stream once more after so many years kind of gives new hope to the idea that where there's one, there shall be more. So that idea of the reinvigoration of that little river, so to speak, does offer its hope for grander things. Not to mention the little quip at the back end with Tesco bags and cars to our rears, kind of hits at the humor in it. Everybody driving by, what the hell are you looking at? Hey.
yep, exactly. Oh, I did enjoy this one. The rhyme, the flow, the imagery. I found this really relatable because the town I used to live in, there's a river right in town and there's a bridge you cross over and you can look and see. I just there's something about watching water. But and then watching water animals like otters playing or busy little beavers carrying a stick in their mouth, geese ducks. I mean, it's just also even turtles. Like, people always talk about they're wanting or having spirit animals that are like ferocious things like wolves, and I think that's wonderful. But I always think I'd like my spirit animal to be a turtle, because when you look at turtles sitting on a log out in the sun, they really look like they know how to be at peace with their life. You know, they do. I don't know why, but they probably because they're so freaking slow. Otters are just they're the toddlers. They're the children of the animal kingdom. They're so playful, as you said. They're so mischievous, and I get it. I mean, I'm not 100% sure what a Tesco is, so I'm assuming it's some sort of a store. I kind of figured. It's the same way where the town I lived in, and because you had to go when to get to the home from the grocery store to the grocery store and back home, I'd have to go over the bridge, across the river, and oftentimes it would be the same experience for me. I'd have armful of grocery bags, cars roaring by, and on one side, and then on the other side, I'd be watching the otters looking at the turtles. The only thing that made me nervous was the snapping turtles, because when they went to go lay their eggs on the side of the road, not only for the turtles' safety, but the fact that, you know, it's really hard to be someone who walks when there's snapping turtles right next to you. But anyways, I found this a wonderfully entertaining write by Amy, and I genuinely hope that she gets to see more otters in her life, because it really is such a treat. So very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Layers by Darkendorf. She has many layers, this woman of mystery. Like a slasher in a trench coat, she hides them well. The fierce tribal warrior, standing proud and strong, hidden under a meek facade. The seductive temptress, donning a white lace nightie, hidden behind an innocent face. The homely wife, loyal and true, the goddess showed the chase, but still, she chose you. One layer through is the same for us all, underneath everything, we are all flesh and bone. If you sever out skin, we all bleed red blood, and our sun-bleached skeletons will someday be white. So don't let blue blood from black ties cut you like a knife. Be like our mystery lady and wear many layers through life. And poem.
Read there, Rex. And now we've gone into the contest with the rights inspired by the artwork of Alan Jones, who is mainly known for his pop art, but he does a variety of different kind of almost like surrealistic type art. And he also does sculptures. And I like her take on this particular prompt, which is basically like the waist down of a woman. And one half of her is what she looks like dressed, and the other half is what she looks like undressed, but not just undressed, but the other half shows part of the bone and muscle tissue within the leg. And I really like how Darkened Auras really paid attention to the details in the painting and drew from that. And saw the idea of a woman of many layers. You know, I especially like the seductive temptress donning a white lace nightie hidden behind an innocent face, the homely wife, loyal and true, the garter showed the chase, but still she chose you. Wonderful lines in showing the different aspects of a woman's personality. I also like how she gets really deep with the lines that say one layer, though, is the same for us all. Underneath everything, we are all flesh and bone. If you sever our skin, we all bleed red blood, and our sun-bleached skeletons will someday be white. And I like how that reminds us that no matter what our appearances are on the outside, eventually we will all become those skeletons of sun-bleached bones, you know, and bleed the same color blood. So I like that. I think Dark and Dora has put quite a bit of thought into this, right? And I really appreciate that. Very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, Leia did the right thing because she dipped into that picture quite well. I like the thought up front that she has many layers, this woman of mystery, then offers up that first couplet there. Like a flasher in a trench coat, she hides them well. That was a nice touch considering she does have a trench coat or a raincoat as part of the motif. She dipped in well with all the other things, the bone, the angled foot to warrior, but also that note to we all bleed red blood that had me thinking of, what was it, Shakespeare. If you tickle us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you prick us, do we not bleed? And the idea, yes, it doesn't matter the melanin content within anybody's skin, and the blood's all the same. We all have that same flavored notus underneath, and it only walks in a few flavors, A, B, and O.
Absolutely. And very cool comment there on the Shakespeare thing. I had thought of the if we prick us, do we not bleed, but I couldn't remember where it was from. So when you said that, I was glad to hear that. Very cool. All right. And what do we got next?
We have Sneaky Feet, Slips and Falls by Jenny the Deep.
All right. A blonde Jezebel wearing black high heels walked across town into the arms of silk, slipped, tripped onto her forsaken knees. Into another man's house she sneaks a peek, left no footprints wherever she went, safe from the embarrassing judgments until the night she was finally exposed. Now she's on the verge of losing her home. Little by little, layer by layer, all come out, praying and hoping she don't lose her spouse. Torn in what to do, shoes come off, heel toe, heel toe. He walks, having enough. Silence stalks as sorrowful tears fall, laying alone on the bed. She might lose it all. End poem. Well, I have a pretty good feeling what that woman was doing while she was down on her knees. But with that being said, great, right, Jenny? And your thoughts, Rex?
Oh, no, it's a nice bit of humor in it. Start with that first stanza. Yeah, they left no footprints wherever she went, safe from the embarrassing judgments. Until the night she was finally exposed, now she's on the verge of losing her home. Turnabout is fair play. Then the note in heel to toe, heel to toe. He walks, having enough. Oh, sounds like she slipped and fell onto a few extra baubles along the way, and he's had one too many. Or he turns around and says, you've had one too many. Oh, God.
Yep. Exactly. I had the same thought with that those end lines, the heel to toe, the idea of somebody getting tested and pulled over for a DUI and then made to walk the line. And you know what? And I like that there's a duality in that thought, as you were mentioning. It could be the heel to toe, heel toe, heel toe is him walking away. But I do get the impression that it's about her having to walk the line, and you know, after coming home drunk. I also really like that beginning stanza with slipped, tripped onto her forsaken knees into another man's house. She sneaks a peek. I would say she's definitely sneaking more than a peek. But what I get is the impression, like this is a great write all the way through. I really get the impression of someone who is only sorry for their actions because they got caught. And you know what? Eventually, you know, people can only forgive for, a person can only forgive for so long. You know, if there's someone in a relationship who's being unfaithful, you know, you can only forgive so many times, and then you have to just say, you know what, I deserve better, and you just walk away. But it's interesting how in the ending couplet, which has great rhyme to it, and nice use of alliteration with silence stalks as sorrowful tears fall. You know, the idea that all of a sudden after he's walked away, then the tears are falling. Then she is sorry, when at that point it's just a little too late. So great emotive write and very well done. And your thoughts, I'm sorry, Rex, you shared your thoughts already. Okay. Well, with that being said, what do we got next?
Dance Origami by Thomas B. In the unfolding, when the origami of dance ceases to be multidimensional, music slips into a coda of silence. It becomes apparent. Feelings are mined to act as the resource, as flesh takes flight when gravity is denied. Each sensation folded, actions creased with scores, aches illuminated by sheets of music, explosions of flight stated beyond the eye's belief in the articulation of a wrist. Life a partner where we awaken, accept blessings, feet how joy entangles, the symphony the world creates in our light steps of happiness. We refold, hold tight to meaning, tighten in a moment of fear, ache for light, slip into dreams, a crane waiting for the right breeze to lift our wings, unfold again, end poem.
Great read there, Rex. What a wonderful write by Thomas B. I have to say, I thought this was a great take on the chosen prompt, which is a sculpture. And it's difficult to explain, but it's of a man and a woman dancing. It's almost very abstract looking. It almost looks like it's made out of flattened metal. And the way the two forms blend together, you can see the separate idea of the man and woman, and yet you can see how they are joined together, as if within the dancing they become a one creature, that they're really in unison with each other. And I thought origami of dance was a great phrase to reflect that idea. I think this is such a wonderful tribute to the art form of dance and the beauty of that art form. And how emotionally charged it can be, and how it you know, takes on a life of its own. Each sensation folded, actions creased with scores, aches illuminated by sheets of music, explosions of flight stated beyond the eye's belief in the articulation of a wrist. And I like how in the articulation of a wrist, I get two thoughts from that. Not only the idea of the dance movements itself, but of the person, the conductor of an orchestra, using his wrist to wave the baton to guide the orchestra, you know. And I really like the use of movement in this, the use of imagery. We refold, hold tight to meaning, tighten in moments of fear, ache for light, sleep, slip into dreams, a crane waiting for the right breeze to lift our wings, unfold again. And I like that he brings up the origami crane, which makes me think of the idea, the belief, the legend that if you fold, like, what is it, 1,000 origami cranes, your wish will come true. And here it's almost the idea by finding that type of love that you really connect with, that you can dance with, you've already created your own origami cranes without actually folding a single piece of paper. So just a wonderful write and very well done. Your thoughts, Rex?
Well, the picture itself does look one-dimensional, flat, except curved because of the way it's shaped. So he hits on the idea of origami because it does look like it's made of paper, yet it stands up. The fact that it is two people, although you only get really the essence of one person, yet you get two separate legs conjoined in the moment. I like the idea of, because he hits on a, ceases to be multidimensional, offers up a singular motif, music slips in the coda of silence. It becomes apparent, our mind to act as resource as flesh takes flight when gravity is denied. So the idea of being light enough to float, again, note to paper. Each sensation folded, again, note to paper. Actions creased with scores. Again, both note to paper and the music, creased and scores, plus the sheets of music, again, more paper, plus the music on the paper. Explosions of flight stated beyond one's belief in the articulation of a wrist. Again, that note, to a dance move, you use your wrist, but also, again, you need the wrist in order to help you fold up that note to origami. Then light a partner where we awaken, accept blessings, feel how joy entangles the symphony the world creates in our light steps of happiness. Again, that note to walking within light, you accept the blessings that you have, the idea of whether you can dance, whether you can fold paper in origami shapes, whatever. The idea, the symphony the world creates, there's joy in that note. And then again, let's finish out. We refold, hold tight to meaning, tighten in moment of fear, ache for light, slip into dreams, a crane, waiting for the right breeze to lift our wings, unfold again. And I think it's a triple note to that angle. As you said, the crane, the notion to the bird itself, but also maybe the thought to the dance itself, but also the thought to martial arts, the crane move, the thought to the stance, the offering, and with the idea of taking flight again, lift our wings, unfold again, that note to you don't have to be folded into that notion continuously. You must open up and take in things so that you can dance to your own tune.
I like that, dance to your own tune, and really great observation. And you're right, there is a layeredness to this rite where so many of the lines can have multiple meanings. Very cool. All right, and what do we have next, Rex?
Pretty Silence by Betty Page.
All right, good old Betty. I'll dance within this silence, pretty poetic letters, words singing melodical. In darkness I find comfort, this cell that I've been cast in, soul so numb there's no words left. I'll sway within nothingness, engaged in recollection of crashing waves and seashells, shattered pieces of stained glass, tainted, jagged, broken hues, softened by clear, pretty tears. I'll write with jaded crimson, suffocate vivid rainbows, embracing all my demons, make love to empty spaces, feel their invisible touch, abandon all and just drift. I'll dance within this silence, pretty poetic letters, words singing melodical. In darkness I find comfort, this cell that I've been cast in, soul so numb, there's no words left. End poem. And wow, what a just a beautiful and emotionally charged piece. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, all I can think of is a tiny dancer. And on that note, that would be a music box. The tiny dancer in the music box, the motif. Because she's forever chained within that atmosphere. The only time ever gets to come out is when the box is open. And then once more, dane back into the darkness, because that's where she's supposed to be kept. It kind of hits on that idea of loneliness, the extreme note to loneliness, and how one delivers oneself into that atmosphere, the sort of, dance within the silence, pretty poetic letters, words singing, melodical. In darkness, I find comfort. This cell that I've been cast in, soul so numb, there's no words left. That hits right there, the music box thing. So I'm walking on that one.
Yeah, I could see that, definitely. I like that. In fact, as you were commenting, it made me think of, and I wish I could remember the name of the song, but you might know what I'm talking about. It's Lizzie Hale, the lead singer of Hailstorm, and the girl who is really well known for playing the violin and the fiddle. I forget what her name is, but she was originally on America's Got Talent, and then she became really famous. But anyways, there's this song, and in the video, Lizzie Hailstorm plays this music box dancer, Lizzie Hale, not Hailstorm, but anyways, she's trapped within this glass box, and all she can do is like spin around, and then like in the video she starts banging against the glass and cracking it in order to get out. And as you were commenting, I was thinking about that video, which is, I'll have to find it if you haven't seen it, Rex. It's just absolutely it's like a mashup of two extremely talented musicians, and that you wouldn't think to put together, but it works so well. I love the imagery in this. The idea of it speaks on, you know, escaping, you know, but having it speaks on me too, on escaping, but on having very little control over your own life, which is where, as you were saying, the whole idea of the music box, comes in, the dancer within the music box, with the idea that other people decide when you get to see the light, and other people decide when you go back in the dark. I really like I'll sway within nothingness, engaged in recollection, crashing waves and seashells, shattered pieces of stained glass, tainted, jagged, broken hues, softened by clear, pretty tears. I like the juxtaposition in pretty tears, you know, the idea that they're so clear and so crystalline. And the idea that the blurring that when the crying creates softens some of the pain, and then, you know, embracing all my demons, make love to empty spaces, feel their invisible touch, abandon all and just drift, you know, just, you know, wanting to get away from everything, but realizing that you have to kind of learn to accept that darker part of yourself and of your life. So wonderful, right, and very well done. And what do we have next?
Naked Science by Emily Dickens Son, stage to again share pieces of his broken life unashamedly with an audience of strangers who sit and laugh. She stands naked in the traces, covering her eyes with a fan so no one will be able to see her. She'd stood ready to talk with him in the dressing room, but he greeted her with silence that permeated the room, an occasional glance as he waited for her to dress and address him. But she did neither, and he was given a stage warning. 2 minutes! Fully cloaked and masked, he left, and she silently followed. Not a word had they shared with each other, and now words spewed forth from his mouth, dirt and secrets mocking innocence and relationships for the sake of the laugh. The naked truth stands quietly ready, but he pays no attention while he makes up his own to get a rise out of the audience. Meanwhile, his heart leaps in silence inside him, but of course, he cannot hear. And poem.
Great read, Rex. This is another one that I thought was a great take on the chosen prompt. Wonderful storytelling. And this is this particular painting is another example of how you were mentioning earlier. The artwork is quite two-dimensional. Like, there's a very flat look to it. And you have the figure of a woman that's pretty much almost completely white, leaned against the wall, and she looks very ghost-like. And then there's someone about to step out onto the stage. It almost looks like the idea of the phantom of the opera. And I really like that Daniel tells a story about these two people. And what it speaks to me on mainly is the idea that he is very focused on his desire for fame and his need to get the approval of the crowd, that he doesn't notice, you know, he doesn't notice her pain, her hurting. I really like she stands naked in the traces, covering her eyes with a fan so no one will be able to see her. She stood ready to talk with him. I think there could also be a thought within these lines of the idea of somebody who is an obsessed fan, the idea of somebody who's extremely obsessed with somebody famous and, but there's a lot of, you definitely feel the heartache, you feel her pain, no matter what the situation, whether he doesn't even know her at all or he does know her, but he chooses the light of the stage over her. And I really like the attention to detail in this, in the dressing room, but he greeted her with silence that permeated the room in occasional glance as he waited for her to dress and address him. Okay, so definitely somebody she knew, but obviously he only needed her in that moment for physical satisfaction, and then she meant nothing to him. Great storytelling. I also really like the line, dirt and secrets mocking innocence and relationships for the sake of a laugh. So, you know, he goes out on stage, he tells the jokes, and in the meantime, she's left hurting. I have to say, I think, you know, whether man or woman, I have to say that I think you would definitely have to be a person who had a tough hide and a great sense of humor, or the same sense of humor as your partner, in order to be in a relationship with a stand-up comedian. So, but yeah, really creative, right, and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
I don't see it as two people. It's one. The fact that she is naked is his fear, because he's talking about relationships, yet he has none of his own. Plus the fear is being naked too, is that note of going on stage, not knowing whether he's actually going to get something out of it or bomb, which is part of the problem. That 2-minute warning, fully cloaked and messy left, and silently she followed, not a word they had they shared with each other, and now words spew forth from his mouth, dirt, secrets, mocking innocence, relationships for the sake of a laugh. Again, pointing back to that note, she is just the image of that which he doesn't have. It's the fear of the relationship, which he does mock, but also the fear he holds with himself, because he's got to try and make that work as part of his routine. And like the back end, the naked truth stands quietly ready, but he pays no attention while he makes up his own to get a rise out of the audience. Meanwhile, his heart leaps in silence inside him, but of course, he cannot hear. This classic thought to someone who needs a, like the, whatchamacallit, the guys, like a ventriloquist. They get so inured into their routine that he'll have to hold a full conversation with the dummy, answering back, and usually getting the better angle of the laughs and the put downs. But that becomes a way of life, and it rolls into the psyche of what they both do, because they're singular in the moment. Both have their fears, and the fears walk past that which they do.
I like that. And great observation there on the idea of the ventriloquist angle. Very cool. All right. What do we got next?
We have the Red Hat people. Oh, wait. The Red Hat people have been buried. Boy, liquid mind forever.
All right. I've lost myself for the cost of rhyme time. Add, I'm bad. Glad you've been sad and I've been a tad had. What to do with these incessantly rad mad hatters? I've claimed no name to fame and named no fame to frame. Splatters and chatters, they're excused for their inane bane. All the same, they make me sick, dampen the candle's wick, stick it where the sun don't shine, and I'm out of time. What to do with these self-possessed, mad, rad hatters? End poem. Wow, those were some tongue-twisting lines. Always a great challenge to read Liquid Mind Forever. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, his thoughts are that title, The Red Hat People Have Been Buried, the idea of there's a ladies' club, the Red Hat Ladies. They always meet and they go out. They're an aloof bunch, money, so to speak. And that's what she's getting into, especially with the back end of it, where all the same, they make me sick and dampen the candle's wick. Stick it where the sun don't shine, I'm out of time. What to do with these self-possessed, mad, rad hatters? You know what? Take some bite out of those who think they're properly august in their red hats and their whatever else they decide to wear, the gloves on their hands and everything else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, it's the Red Hat Society. It is actually created, it was based after a poem which starts out, "When I am an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat, which doesn't go and doesn't suit me, and I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves." And honestly, I kind of like that idea. I like what you had to say about the idea of people who think you need to fit in with their little group. I like that you chose. I like that Liquid Mind Forever chose to write to one of the sculptures which it's interesting. It actually, the way this red sculpture is, and another example of very flat looking artwork made from metal. It almost looks like a very abstract recreation of the thinker. And I don't remember who carved the thinker, but you know which one I'm talking about. The famous one made by Stone, the naked guy. Yes, that's it, yes. I have to say that on a technical level, I really like the wordplay, the inner and end rhyme. And I joke around and say it's a tongue twister because it is, but I like that I admire the intelligence she has to create tongue twisters. I really like splatters and chatters. They're excused for their inane bane. All the same, they make me sick, dampen the candle's wick. You know, there's some people that all they want to do is they want to toot their own horn. You know, they want to put out everybody. All the same, they make me sick, dampen the candle's wick. Really gives me the idea of people who want to put out other people's lights, their other people's candle lights, with their constant gossiping and bickering. And they're so focused on themselves that they won't let other people's light shine. So great write by Liquid Mind Forever, and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Green and Black Spotted Frog by the Warrior Poets. I kissed a spotted green frog for a bet. You'd never guess what happened. Before my eyes, it grew and grew and turned into a beautiful princess wearing a green dress with dark spots. She kissed me and called me her prince. Went to a ruined castle. When we entered, everything came to life. Servants running this way and that, even the king and queen. The castle looked brand new, inside and out. Everything was beautiful again. And poem.
Great read there, Rex. You know, I like that this is simple and sweet. He takes a classic tale, a classic idea, the classic tale of the frog that gets turned into a prince and gives it some twists. First of all, you know, the first twist being that, you know, instead of a prince, it's a princess that the frog turns into. And what I like is the added detail of that she's wearing a green dress with dark spots. So what was the skin of the frog becomes the dress of the princess. So very entertaining. And your thoughts, Rex?
It's the first line. I kissed a spotted green frog for a bet. Then everything unfolds after that. So it's a trip down the rabbit hole because he kissed one of those frogs that offers up hallucinogenics, which dip into his tongue and then send him down the rabbit hole into another world.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get that now. That makes sense. Okay, yep, I totally did not pick up on that at first, but you are right. If you kiss a frog on a bet and they turn into a princess before your eyes, most likely, yes, some sort of hallucinogenic was involved. So, oh, man, great observation there, Rex. All right, well, now, I believe that was that the last write for that particular contest, or did we?
Nope, there's two more. One on the board right now from Julie Butt, and then
all right,
one more.
All right, very cool. All right, you are right. My apologies. All right, so what do we have next?
The Indulgers by Julie Buck.
The Indulgers by Julie Buck. Back when life was easy and bulletproof, we indulged in pleasures, guilty, and felt almost certain, because rock and roll told us so, that all of life was a stage, and that we chose, that we choose when to lower the curtain. But recent hindsight reveals that we never had that power, and middle age concurs, we never will. No matter, because writing in a world where once I believed we were invincible, that was power. And no matter this timeless song for freedom's voice, like then and now, sweet and strong, and anything that beautiful is never wrong. And though I still indulge, I no longer conclude I'm in control of any delusional curtain. End poem. And what an excellent write by Julie Buck. And your thoughts, Rex?
A bite at reflection a number of years on, because that first stanza walks on the notion of, in youth, back when life was easy and bulletproof, we indulged in pleasures, guilty, and felt almost certain. Yes, the notion of, hey, we know everything, we can do anything, we're never going to die. But then again, middle age rolls on, and all of a sudden you find, well, it ain't working that way, is it? Because things don't often work that way. You can think that all that youthful stuff, but life has its own way of edging into the realm that it's supposed to be. But this one on the backside, the timeless song for freedom's voice, like then and now, sweet and strong and anything, that beautiful is never wrong. And though I still indulge, I am no longer in control of my delusional curtain. Oh, that's the funny touch for the back end. Yes, well, I can admit, all right, yeah, the wool's still there, but at least I'm pulling the wool this time, not someone else.
I like that thought. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and honest to goodness, life is full of twists and turns. It throws curveballs at you, and you know what you think is going to happen to life, and you know when in your youth, and how oftentimes you think you're invincible, you think you're completely in control, and you realize that you're not. And I like the end line with, I no longer conclude I'm in control of any delusional curtain. I like that brings to mind the Wizard of Oz, with pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's almost as if the ignorance of our youth is the man behind the curtain, and we're no longer going to pay attention to that. I do like the humor in this. But hindsight reveals that we never had that power, and middle age concurs we never will. But we do have, there are certain powers and freedoms that we do have. You know, we do have the freedom and the power to use our poetic voices to speak up about things that are important to us. You know, and I like that. You know, no matter this timeless song for freedom's voice, like then and now, sweet and strong. You know, we still have the freedom and the right to use our voice. So wonderful write by Julie, and very well done. All right. And what do we have next?
Reception by Tears from Within. We're always
all
told.
Right. I'm sorry. I got confused, and I thought it was my turn to read.
You can read it.
My
if you
apologies.
Want. All right. Deception by Tears from Within. We're always told to be perfect. Hide what you feel. Push it down, way down. Smile for the camera. Stand up straight. Suck it in. So she stands, hard as stone, holding up to her teachings, smiling for the camera, holding back the tears. Behind the closed doors, she falls to her knees. She allows herself to express everything that she's not allowed to feel. Stuck behind a facade, her deception screams, I'm happy, but she's falling apart. The world sees a strong woman, painted to be beautiful, to blend in with the elite. She's what is taught as beauty, strong, intelligent, thin, always dressed to impress. She falls behind closed doors, screaming, wiping off the makeup, staring in the mirror at her reality. She sees what Photoshop cannot make real. Inside, alone, she sees what she's taught isn't worthy. Inside, alone, she sees herself. The beauty for others is always on display. The deception spreads. Her image doesn't speak her truths. She stands behind a facade to be beautiful for the world. And inside, she is screaming for peace and solitude, wanting to show the world what's real, who she is, how she is. But the deception spreads. The bill must be paid, so she shall push it all down, way down. Smile for the camera. Suck it in. Stand up straight. You don't have time to feel. The camera releases its shutter. Time to be perfect. She holds her pose. Sucks it in. Stands straight. Smiles. Another great shoot for display. Perfect. And boom.
Great read, Rex. And Tears from Within has been fairly new to me to writing for our shows, and I've really appreciated getting a chance to see more of her poetry. I thought this was another great take on the chosen prompt. I like that she delves into the idea of the misconception of perfection and how people become obsessed with it. And she really goes into the world of modeling and the idea of, the expectations put on people, but especially on women to be perfect, to be beautiful. And it really makes me think about the idea of how oftentimes eating disorders come to be because of that kind of pressure to be perfect. I really like the world sees a strong woman painted to be beautiful, to blend in with the elite. She's what is taught as beauty, strong, intelligent, thin, always dressed to impress. And then inside, alone, she sees what she's taught isn't worthy. Inside, alone, she sees herself. It makes me think of that saying that, if mirrors showed souls instead of faces, can you imagine what we would see, the ugliness that some people would see? And I like how this speaks on the idea of someone who comes to that self-realization that they are part of a very shallow society. A very shallow culture, really strong and thoughtful lines and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, I guess I'll have to walk a different role. This is someone who thought she knew what she wanted, got into the life and what it rolls into, not realizing what it takes to meet that that note within that life, and finds herself disenchanted, but she continues on despite the fact that she's not happy. She's probably going to drive herself to the point of suicide, or at least the psychiatrist chair for many years to come. But the idea, you should always know what you're getting into. I mean, modeling, that's a hard life. There are expectations. You've got to look a certain way. You've got to be able to fit into those, whether it's for the runway, for the gowns and all that stuff, you got to fit into that. You got to watch your weight. You got to know how to walk. The proper smile, everything goes with it, or for photo shoots, you've got to be able to marry to the camera. It's the idea of offering up that picture perfect moment to display whatever is being offered up as the advertisement. So this walks on an angle of someone who's disenchanted because it's not what she thought it was, even though it may have started out that way, because she was looking at it as a stepping stone for something else and it never materialized. So she feels boxed in because of her own decisions.
Yeah, interesting observations on disenchantment. I like that word, disenchantment. And I think it's something that does easily happen to many of us. Now, when it comes to walking, me personally, I just go with what Phil Collins says. I can't sing. I can't talk. The only thing about me is the way I walk. Me and good old Phil. So, yep. All right. I'm just amusing myself there. All right. So what do we have next, Rex?
Nefarious Jewels by Blossom Writer.
All right. And we've now gone into the last contest of the night, which was an 8-spots-only contest. And I don't actually know who the artist was because I found this particular painting. I only had one prompt in this contest. I found this particular painting with, you can find websites that have like free wallpaper. And it just spoke to me. It's a picture of a young woman who looks like a painting of the face of a young woman. And she's, looks very elf-like. Her eyes are bright green. Her lips are purple. Her hair has leaves and berries in it. And, I just looked at it and I found it very captivating. And I wanted to see what 8 people would get from this one particular painting. with that being said, Nefarious Jewels by Blossom Writer. Lemongrass bulb lighting her line hazel eyes like stained glass diamante. These nefarious jewels spangle harvests, teased by dripping rains, the fruited groves spangled like nectars, the briar's redder blooms, the rosebud effulgence of a wild child fay within its June-ripened thistles, thorn by leaflets prickle, lavishly garbed by earth-tone infancy, mystique drapes within those hawthorn tresses, dangling of the boysenberry blues, apothecary herb shrouded by its orchid capers, a mauve of mystique flowering, planting the seeds, rising by the organic sunset, whereby the wind and air and angels float on feathers, whisked in the transparency, a butterfly flutters within its blissful whimsicality. End poem. And your thoughts, Rex?
Kind of like she's coming into her own, the idea of nefarious jewel spangle harvest. That kind of hits the idea of what's behind the eyes, teased by dripping rains, the fruited groves spangled. A nice touch to the hair itself. And again, like nectars, the briar's redder blooms, the rosebud effulgence of a wild child fay, within its June-ripened thistle's thorn by leaflets prickle. The idea of someone who's not just coming of age, but all that comes with it, it's almost like a ceremonial dance, lavishly garbed by earth-tone infancy. I like that line. Mystique drapes within those hawthorn tresses, dangling off the boysenberry blues. Colorful piece, mauve touch, and the mystique flowering, planting the seeds, rising by the organic sunsets. Boy, she's ready to go out and raise hell.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and you're right. This does have that kind of almost coming of age feel. And I love how there's this personification of nature and this desire for adventure, to just find that freedom. And the imagery and metaphors in this is just absolutely, and word choices is just absolutely stunning. Lavishly garbed by earth tone infancy, mystique drapes within those hawthorn tresses, dangling of the boysenberry blues. I like that idea with the thoughts of the summer berries flourish so wonderfully, and then the fluttering of the wind, the floating of angels, the feathers. You know, it's all just almost spiritual in the imagery at the end, rising by the organic sunset. And I like how this is one that really speaks so beautifully on the variety of colors within the artwork and within nature itself. I thought it was a beautiful write on the growth of nature, where both flora and fauna dwell, and that, you know, sets the spirit free to float in that whimsicality. So wonderful write and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Gaia's Land by Alistair Hugh Muir. Resplendent in a cotton dress, so simple some surmise, fair Gaia comes, the lyre hums, a visit will surprise. Unlike a church, the open air provides a temple here, in verdant glade the fauna bayed, flock eager without fear. No man attends this meet of few, her faithful loving flock, the work so bad considered mad by humans seem to mock. Fair Gaia's passion, nature's queen, decision must be made, though somewhat rare to see her there in radiance displayed. So green like flora's vegan blood, the eyes confirm the fears, no fruit or berry, sweet as cherry, catalyst the tears, which fall at feet in torpid pools, their strength of life refrained, the dying shoots and hungry roots which fed on salt and rain, from locks of hair which bore the seeds a multicolored wave, all fruit that sown the birth her own, all life she had to save. From fruit of life and love to soil, the animals agree, no humans must be given trust, no thing is free. Departs just like a peaceful wind, returns to cloudless sky. Mankind has sinned, must now rescind all rights deferred that tribe. In rape and violate her land, they tenants after all, whilst Gaia waits, not hesitates to engineer their fall. And boom.
Great read there, Rex. I really like Alistair's poetry. He's a wonderful rhyming poet. This has a beautiful imagery, great word choices. I like that it speaks on the wrath of Mother Nature. And, of course, I really like that he uses Gaia, the goddess of the earth, the goddess of nature. I thought that was a nice touch. I thought it was an excellent write on the observations of the earth goddess Gaia, who notices mankind's mistreatment of nature and quietly plans her revenge. So oftentimes it really is about those consequences of our own action. I like the storytelling in this. Fair Gaia's passion, nature's queen, decisions must be made. Though somewhat rare to see her there in radiance displayed, So green like flora's vegan blood, the eyes confirm the fears. No fruit or berry, sweetest cherry, catalyst to tears. So I like that he puts it in the idea that she is the boss. And, you know, everybody's quite surprised to see her at the meeting, but, you know, she's had enough. She's attending the meeting, and she's planning the downfall of those who have harmed not only her, but her children. So excellent write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, this is the second piece I've read by Alistair. Did one on Sunday, the past Sunday. He's got an ease of flow. It rolls right off the tongue, and before you know it, you're done with the piece, and you realize, hey, I should go back and reread a second time. He offers up that note to, all right, what did I miss on the first read? Because it did flow that well. He's got a nice cadence and meter to him, to his voice that walks through it. And this does roll on to Mother Nature's angle, and he has no fear. Mother Nature takes her call when we least expect that fall. It often comes in those things she sets upon us. The hurricanes, the tornadoes, the huge waves, and volcanoes, and all other such goodies. We have no fear. She always manages to pop a top when the cork needs to be emoted somewhat, and usually takes a few of us out on the note. Have no fear. Mother Nature is not going anywhere, and hell, we're in no position to conquer it anyway.
Absolutely. Very true. Very true. All right. And what do we have next, Rex?
Imbalance by Weaver of Dreams.
Mother Nature's daughter had come of age with her goddess mother's fierce conviction. Now her opaline eyes gaze with dismay upon an earth wounded and scarred beyond belief. In centuries past, man worshipped nature's glory. Seasons did not come and then go unremarked. Due deference was given to mother's plan: winter cleanse, spring sow, summer leap, autumn clear. Until man is anything evolving might decided to plunder other countries to supplement their larder. Mother Nature saw her daughter's distress at the way man disrupted and destroyed with impunity, so explained, "Free will allows us. I can do nothing until an imbalance occurs. Then floods and storms will disseminate and level all." End poem. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, she just made my point in the last piece. In the last line, floods and storms will decimate and level all. Yes. But I did like that notice. Where was it? Plunder other countries to supplement their larder. I hadn't heard larder in quite a while. I might have to save that for use. I like that. This was a nice touch. I liked it. With a nice tone of dark humor behind it. So, yeah, bugger off. I'm still in the back end, and I'm sitting in the driver's seat in control. Like, try driving this heap. You'll get nowhere fast.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, yes, I have to agree with you. She really does make the point that, Mother Nature realizes that it's all about balance and, you know, that she's in control. And I really like that instead of having the picture be Mother Nature, she decided that this was going to be Mother Nature's daughter. You know, it's a great, another one that's a great coming of age story. And the idea of here's Mother Nature's daughter observing the world around her and wondering, why aren't these people getting punished? And, you know, I like how she struggles to understand how humanity is allowed to be so cruel to each other and the earth. And I appreciate how in the end Mother Nature responds with these lines, "Free will allows this. I can do nothing until an imbalance occurs, then floods and storms will disseminate and level all." There's such a finality to that, but a kind of a calm and patient understanding, you know. And I think there are many, no matter what your religious belief is, there are many beliefs that, you know, believe that, that, you know, mankind is given free will. So I personally believe that myself, that we are given free will. But what we do with that, you know, we have to pay the consequences of our actions, especially when things are thrown out of balance. So definitely a great write by Kate and very well done. All right. And what do we have next?
Resolutely Right by Bill Schiller. Her eyes gleamed like new emeralds. Beads of blue and black berries heralded her presence. Splendorous shades of ambient aesthetic ensnared, elegantly encompassing a delicate face in all hues of graced caress. Speechless, I traded away my gray to study science of her radiance. Like the miracle after storm, she embodied rainbow's glow, a fantasy in female form. A Crayola box could never be as complete. Some colors can't compete with others. Carmen Miranda's hat could pale by compare. Too soon, we fell into a pit of careless dispute. Far too many tried to taste her fruit. And after most dreary of departures, our romance spoiled before blossom. End poem.
Great read there, Rex. I really enjoy Bill's imagery in this. His kind of biting humor and his use of imagery. I really thought that this was that he really painted with his words with bold strokes of color. And I like how this speaks on that impression, that first impression when you fall in love with somebody and you just think they're just absolutely perfect. And then you really get to know them and you really start to clash with them. And I like the bite in the end line about the romance that's spoiled before blossom. It's almost within, you know, like it's almost the idea to me of meeting somebody and falling in love at first glance, but then within 15 minutes of talking to them, you find that there's quite a bit of shallowness there. I like the phrase, a fantasy in female form. A Crayola box could never be as complete. Also, the nod to the Carmen Miranda's hat with the hat of towering hat of fruit, I thought was a really clever touch. Carmen Miranda's hat could pale by compare. But yeah, you definitely get the idea of being entranced by someone, or at least I do. And then for too many tried to taste her fruit. Too soon we fell into pit of careless dispute, for too many tried to taste her fruit. I think maybe perhaps there's this idea also of jealousy there. With the idea that, yeah, you're attracted to her because she's got a bright, colorful personality. She's beautiful. But the problem is that too many other people are attracted to her also. So there's this kind of idea of perhaps bitterness and jealousy. But really clever write by Bill and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
I'll roll the same thing. The Crayola box is a nice touch. So is Carmen Miranda's hat, especially since he dropped it far too many, tried to taste the fruit. So the jealousy does walk in there. And romance doesn't conjure up, because there is jealousy in the fact that there are plenty of people paying her mind. Yet, oh well, that resolutely ripe hits on two angles. She is resolutely ripe in his eyes, and his eyes are resolutely ripe because of what he sees.
I like that thought, and yes, definitely. Definitely, I can see that. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, what do we have next, Rex?
Untamable Wild Flame of Desire by Jenny the Deep.
All right. Fierce eyes of verdant envy, wavy, flaming red-orange hair flowing wildly, an eloquent beauty fallen from grace, hypnotizing you as you look upon her face. Lady of the dark, stoically staring, unreadable expressions hidden yet daring. On the outside, she is vibrantly glowing, but inside she is lost and unknowing. Frizzy and unkept is her head, full of nothing but regret and dread. One day her demons will be exposed. Until then, most of her secrets I only will know. Adding fuel to her inner burning fire, floating now is her untamable desire. End poem. And your thoughts, Rex?
Sounds like she's trying to explain a nymph. There's a nymphomaniac here. Ha ha, beware. Especially those last two lines. Add a fuel to her inner burning fire. Exploding now is her untamable desire. And that most of the first secrets only I will know. It's some verdant envy. This thing's got a little on the wild side. Might be a nymphomaniac, but she's also envious. Wants everything to be hers in the moment. And we'll take it. And Lady of the Dark, frizzy and unkempt as her head, full of nothing but regret and dread. Boy, doesn't think much of this girl.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten the impression from the last few poems I've read of Jenny's for shows, that there is definitely someone she does not think too highly of because of this person's choices to hurt other people. I mean, I could be wrong, could be all made up, but I've noticed, even in the two poems tonight, I've noticed a similar theme. I like how the imagery that Jenny uses in this, especially to describe the picture, the woman in the artwork, and then brings a darkness to it. Lady of the dark, stoically staring, unreadable expressions, hidden yet daring. On the outside, she is vibrantly glowing, but inside she is lost and unknowing. And that is so often true. Oftentimes you get people who look like they just love themselves, but on the inside they're completely confused. And you're right, this does speak on the idea of someone who wants that instant gratification, that instant gratification, will take it, will take what they want to please themselves and not even think about the consequences. So this is another one within its own way speaks on the idea of consequences for our actions and our choices. So wonderful write by Jenny, and very well done. And was that our last write for the night?
Yes, it was.
Okay, no problem, no problem. We'll just do a little shameless plugging and wrap things up a little early. Thank you, as always, Rex, for being an awesome co-host. I always appreciate you. Thank you to Stargazer and Jenny for hanging on the board. Appreciate you both. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And, of course, thank you to Fill My Eyes for everything she does in the background and to all our hosts and hostesses. Make sure, of course, to check out the topic boards and contests put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. Now, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, you can join Rex and Weaver of Dreams for open poetry. Then Saturday, 12:30 a.m., you can join Afaziana for Part Sinner, Part Saint. Saturday, 10 p.m., you can join Gray Eye Smith for Bad Company. Gray Eye Smith and Daniel DeShino for Bad Company. And I'm not really sure of their two topics, but I do know they always have interesting topics and great shows. Sunday, 12:30 a.m., you can join Arcana and Stellina for Delving the Depths of Darkness. And Stellina is running that contest if anyone wants to check it out. And it's pretty cool. They have a bunch of different picture prompts that have to do with the theme of magic and mysticism. And that's sure to be a great show. And that brings us to Sunday, which is Father's Day, Rhythm and Rhyme, your show, Rex. So tell us about some of your prompts.
Okay. Let's see. I got a bunch of songs from the likes of Keith Urban, Everclear, Cat Stevens, Miley Cyrus. What else we got in here? Queen. Micah the Mechanics. The Marvelettes. My old man from, who's that one by? I forget that. Bloody hell. I think Johnny Cash is in here. Miley Cyrus. And Bruce Springsteen.
Nice. Very cool. Great variety. And that contest needs rights. Right now, there's only three in there. We're looking to celebrate fathers and father-like figures that deserve to be celebrated. And great selection of prompts to choose from. So make sure, everyone, to check out that contest by Intimidus Rex. And hopefully you'll be inspired, and which I believe you will be. And then, of course, Monday at 10 p.m., we have the Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove. Tuesday is after midnight. So do you have plans for after midnight, Rex?
Yep, I'm working on it.
Nice. Well, I am looking forward to seeing what you put up there, because you always have great contests. I have three contests I'm running. The one for Twisted Tuesday, the next Twisted Tuesday, which is your favorite classic poets. And we're actually hoping to make this into a two-part show. And what we're doing is we're having people be inspired by a poem from their favorite classic poet. And during the show, before each poem, we're going to either play an audio or have read the classic poem and then read the poem that was inspired, that was the inspiration, written by the AP, all poetry poet. So that should be really great. And there's still plenty of room in that contest. Then for next break on through, I have The Art of Alex Gray. I just love his artwork. It's very psychedelic. He's one who uses LSD to open the mind. And you can see that within his artwork. It's fascinating. And then I do have an 8 spots only contest that I'm going to use for either a future break on through or after midnight. And because I decided to run a word bank contest, which actually is something I've never done before. So, you know, anybody who likes word bank contests, check it out. I put up 32 different words and just request that people use at least 15 of them. So, but yeah, we got a great lineup of shows and poetry this coming up week. And I will, of course, be seeing you and Kate for tonight's open poetry show. So, thank you, Rex. All right. Well, you have a great night, and have a good night, everyone.
Good night.